The Dramas of Hospital Life.
Chapter 1. The Quiet Boy. No wonder he looks so lonely. His mom and dad can only visit him once every 2 weeks, the nurse commented. Why? She was asked. I heard they live 140 kilometers away from here. Traveling that distance is expensive, she replied. This was Sunday afternoon. The ward consisted of 25 beds, where about 50 people were visiting loved ones. They all seemed to be laughing and enjoying themselves, as if they were attending a party. I felt some were staring at me and whispering. How come he has no visitors? I don't know. He must be from out of town. Some visitors passed my bed, trying not to look at me. One whispered, He makes me feel guilty and uncomfortable. Why? Said the other. Well, he looks very sad. I can't help that he has no visitors. Why doesn't he read a book instead of staring at the ceiling? The other said, Oh, he is picking up a book now. He must have heard you. Look, he's wiping tears from his eyes. At least he can cry. That helps to relieve the tension. I looked at my watch. Another hour to go before the busy Sunday visiting hours were over. It amazed me that nobody made the effort of saying hello or giving me an encouraging smile. Everyone was so involved in their own little worlds. Did they not know what it was like to have no visitors? No, sir, this was not part of their thoughts. You are just feeling sorry for yourself, that's all. You have to toughen up. You have never been away from home. Don't be like a crybaby. Now try to read so people will stop staring at you. What? More visitors? Why does it make you depressed to see all these happy faces? You have to learn to cope, even at 19 years of age, or else you wither away, I thought to myself. Well, there was my doctor. Gerald, you are scheduled for another skin graft surgery at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, so you will be fasting at midnight.
Thank you, doctor.
Another one? How many more would follow? Well, at least he didn't have to chase away any of my visitors. I was finally able to tune out the conversations around me. One nurse walked in and closed the curtain around my bed. Gerald, I am going to shave your leg and hip. You are booked for an operation at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Yes, I know. The doctor was in just a few minutes ago, I said to her. Oh, was he? She paused. I thought, since you have no visitors, it was a good time to do your skin prep. By the time she had completed this, the visitors had all left. This special orthopedic clinic was very famous for their knowledge. That was why I had been sent here. There was also a rehab center and a school for physically handicapped patients. I was a patient there for a year and a half and underwent 17 operations. Another thing I had to endure was the strict Roman Catholicism of this institution, when I was one of the very few non-Catholics there. I was not accepted, but totally ignored. The nurses joked and laughed with other patients, but when they came to my bedside, it seemed as though they had lost their tongues. My ordeal lasted for 6 months, many nights during which I cried myself to sleep. God began to have pity on me, however, and made the staff aware of their poor treatment of me. The head nurse, a nun, became very kind. She stated, "We have more respect for a person with principles than for a person who is ignorant about it." They finally accepted me. Patients and staff were now interested in what I had to say. What a change! I couldn't get over it. Once a month, they had some kind of entertainment in the recreation hall. For instance, a choir would perform classical or folk music, or the Air Force band would visit, or we would watch a play. Most patients were there for a year or longer and looked forward to some kind of activity. When I finally left the clinic, I had a hard time saying goodbye to all my friends, which seems difficult to believe given my initial experiences there. 10 days later, my parents, brothers and sisters, and I emigrated to Canada, along with many people leaving our small European country because of its poor economy. Wages were very low, too low to make ends meet. The government subsidized fares for most emigrants to get them to their destination. This was in the 1950s, 47 years ago. My family members have all become Canadian citizens and are proud of it.